Outdoor Power Headquarters, Steel, Ego, and Craftsman. Rocky's Outdoor Power Trifecta.
Hey, good morning, sports fans. How the heck are you? As you know, when Bill Belichick speaks, usually very little actually comes out of his mouth. In fact, you can compile an exhaustive list of Belichick quotes and discover almost nothing about the man or how he thinks. And yet, out of obligation, he is forced to field questions, even if that means offering nothing in return. However, there are times when Bill Belichick will offer something that leaves you wondering, what did he say? Did he just say what I thought he said? Yesterday was one of those days. As many of you know, the Patriots have moved on from Sunday's painful loss to the Denver Broncos and are now focused solely on preparing for the San Francisco 49ers. In doing so, Bill Belichick had to answer all kinds of questions about why they lost to Denver or about facing Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, the typical nonsense that happens at every Belichick press conference. But when somebody asked him about 49ers tight end George Kittle, Bill Belichick stated, and I quote, "Kittle is a great player. He does everything well. I put him right on top of the league there, period. He does everything at a high level. He's as good as anybody I've coached in that position or as good as anybody we've played against." I'm sorry. Did he just say what I think he said? Isn't this the guy that used to coach four-time All-Pro Rob Gronkowski for 9 straight seasons? Isn't Gronk allegedly the greatest tight end of his generation? Isn't he also the same guy that used to coach Aaron Hernandez before he started picking people off execution style in industrial parks all across the South Shore? And yet Kittle is every bit as good as those guys? Listen, no disrespect to George Kittle. He is a fantastic football player. But if I'm not mistaken, Bill Belichick just slammed at least one of his former players, possibly two if you consider that one is no longer on anyone's active roster. This is like Bill Belichick saying, Rob Gronkowski is dead to me. Granted, Gronk is no longer with the Patriots. Granted, he's now playing for somebody else. Granted, he came out of retirement to play with somebody else. But how quickly has Bill Belichick moved on from that relationship? Not for nothing, but that was like watching Bill Belichick suddenly bare what is left of his dark and evil soul. And you certainly don't see that happen very often, do you? No, you do not. But hey, enough of my yapping. Sports brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware. Everything you read online about Benjamin Moore paint proves that Benjamin Moore is the paint that painting professionals prefer. It's also the paint for do-it-yourselfers just like you. And if you need help, the folks at Rocky's are always there to help you. Good people, rock solid service at every Rocky's Ace Hardware. I'm back. That's my view from the couch.
Rock 102, Springfield's classic rock.
I'm voting for Dan Alley.
It's 7:08 with Max and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Cloudy today, the slight chance of a shower, but temperatures higher than normal, which is not too bad. It is 54 right now in downtown Springfield. You know, for some weeks now, I'm not exactly sure how many, at least twice a week, I've been involved in Zoom meetings. And I've gotten used to it. You know, I chose to go into radio because I'm not necessarily comfortable with my appearance.
Either as anybody else.
Well, you would think so. But I especially don't like to have to look at myself. And, you know, when you do Zoom or FaceTime, for that matter, while the big picture is the person you're speaking to, there's the little picture of your, you know what, now that I think about it?
You're going to actually switch back and forth.
When I'm doing Zoom, I don't think there is a, oh, now I can't remember, and I've been doing it twice a week. But anyway, you know, or you should know, what you look like when you're on Zoom. And I will say, I have always been completely clothed, shirt, pants, mm-hmm. underwear, socks, just like now.
Yeah.
There's no cameras on me now. I could be dressed or undressed any way I chose.
I've been on a couple of them, and I'm always fully dressed until mm-hmm. The very moment I either shower or go to bed at night. And even then, I'm often wearing a tailored suit. Mm-hmm. But in the Zoom calls that I have been on, I'm also very aware of what is around me. Like,
yeah.
Is it possible that, let's say, there would be activity directly behind me that I wouldn't see?
Yep.
And I wouldn't notice? I mean, is it mm-hmm. possible that, something horrible might happen because of the environment. And I try very hard to make sure that does not happen.
Well, I heard somebody sent me a story yesterday, and it was a brief one, and it was early. In the time as the story obviously progressed, it began to build. And all I really saw was Jeffrey Toobin, who is CNN's star legal analyst, also works for New Yorker magazine, apparently was on a Zoom call and somehow his genitals were exposed. And back when I read it the first time or in the earlier time, there was no real conversation or reporting, rather,
right,
about the circumstances of how this occurred.
Well, from my understanding is he thought that the Zoom call that he was on, and this is a New Yorker magazine Zoom call. This wasn't a CNN one, but this was a regular like work style meeting. He was under the impression that either the Zoom call had ended or that his camera was turned off when he decided that that was such a good meeting, so exciting of a meeting, that he felt like he needed to physically and digitally manipulate himself into a rousing crescendo.
Yeah.
While this was going on.
I just saw that about 10 minutes ago. That's the first time like I said, in the early part when I saw it reported, I heard he was exposed. I just read, because I'm looking at the story right now from Fox News, because that's where I get all my stuff from, so I know it's real. And I'm looking at, apparently, in the switch off from Rachel Maddow to Chris Hayes, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know which order those shows are on. They were laughing at this whole issue. And this article is the first time I see that he was, in fact, or allegedly, masturbating on the call.
And in the blink of an eye, the word Toobin has become a verb. You know what I'm saying? I was Toobin during my Zoom meeting.
I'm not sure. Vice reported the Zoom call, which was described as an election simulation, featured...
You mean stimulation?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Hey, wait a minute. Who is this?
Pat Kelly.
Okay. Anyway, his colleagues from the New Yorker were all on this call. They were playing various roles in potential 2020 outcomes, including President Trump, Joe Biden, established Republicans, established Democrats, the military, and Toobin was playing the courts.
Himself.
Well, he was playing the courts, and obviously he was more concerned, or less concerned, rather, with his briefs than he should have been.
You know, the thing about these calls is if you have not logged out, it's still going on. And he thought that this was that either no one would see or that the call was done.
You gotta
kind of have to know where you're at before you start to go back to old activities.
Yeah, and you got to know your way around this thing. Now, not unlike everything else on the internet, because I'm reading more into this story. There are ways of multitasking. According to two sources, Toobin was seen masturbating. It was supposed to be a 10-minute strategy session, but it seems like, see, this is how it gets tricky, I guess, that he was on a second video call simultaneously. And the sources say that when the groups returned from their breakout rooms, this would be for the New Yorker portion of the call, he lowered the camera and the people on the call could see him touching himself.
Mm-hmm.
He then left the call and moments later he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see, and the simulation continued.
All right, but to his credit, he did hit the mute button.
So if you're doing a Zoom, you can be doing two separate Zoom calls at the same time.
If you got two different devices, sure. You can do a laptop and a phone.
Yeah, this doesn't necessarily say anything about two devices.
Well, it shouldn't have to. You couldn't do two Zoom calls. I don't think you can do two Zoom calls in the same laptop, but you could certainly do it on two different devices.
Actually, you can do two Zoom calls at the same time because that accidentally happened to my kids last year when they were doing they originally started out with Zoom
right.
for the school before they changed over to this Google Classroom thing.
Sure.
And when we were trying to connect, you could connect the teacher accepted both invitations because she had two tabs open by accident. And all of a sudden there was like this echo and all this other stuff too.
Right. So you got it
in the background.
Got to mute it. But
right.
But still, you know, whether it's one device or two, he's on two.
No, he's on one.
He's in two meetings.
Two meetings, yes. Well, and that's just it. He's obviously doing, this doesn't say what time of day it was, but he's obviously doing work on one and must be doing something completely different on another. And prior to the reported masturbation, Toobin offered an apology for his embarrassingly stupid mistake and attempted to explain what led to it. I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom video. Okay, Jeffrey, we accept your apology, and we believe that you are being transparent. Nevertheless, the question is, why were you masturbating onto a Zoom call?
No. I was not masturbating. I was jogging my foreskin.
Go on.
Polishing the rocket.
Yeah.
Burping the baby. I mean, yeah. All that spit in there.
You apologize to your wife, your family. Apologizing to them is one thing. Explaining to them why you were doing this,
well,
that's going to have to be the hard part.
Why? Well, that's not really the hard part. The question is, really, why does anybody do it? Because we're in a mood. We're bored. We get free time. We assume nobody is around. Toobin, sadly, misjudged his positioning in all this.
Look, I can understand single people in a relationship, say they're distanced because of COVID, for instance. That's a perfect example. You're dating somebody, you're going out with somebody, but you don't want to take the risk of being together, so you're distanced. So maybe you do a Zoom call with each other every now and then, and maybe you turn it into some kind of like visual phone sex, but not simultaneous to a work meeting. Or if you have a wife and child who are home.
Yeah. He's been suspended by the New York Magazine, but he has New York Magazine, but no word on what CNN is going to do.
Well, actually, what I'm reading here is that he voluntarily took time off.
Yeah, I think that's probably for the best. He'll probably have lots of time to be manipulating himself during his sabbatical. But, you know.
I don't know.
Again, if you're going to this guy for legal analysis, CNN's got to be scratching their head going, do we really need to find, there's a million lawyers out there.
Well,
maybe there's somebody who, I mean, because we did pretty good before the OJ trial without Jeffrey Toobin, and we've been talking to him ever since, but do we really need to continue?
Well, I'm sure he has a contract, and I don't believe our contracts prevent us from masturbating while we're on the air.
Melting pearls on the tummy.
I don't believe our contract does, but I do believe our contract says something about acting in a way which would be a detriment to the radio station or our parent company's reputation.
Well, sure, if you're stupid enough to allow yourself to be seen, but we're an auditory medium as it is. So
yeah, but you can always hear somebody high-fiving Yul Brynner when you're ready to. Ready to finish, you know?
Yeah.
High five and Yul Brynner. Kids, look that up.
Yes, because there's no other more up-to-date, bald celebrity out there we could have used.
Jesse Ventura.
Right, okay, sure.
Even that's a little bit old.
Yeah, grappling with Ventura. You're absolutely
What about hanging with Seal?
Or grooming the Great Dane.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
Yeah.
So there's a career gone in a blink of an eye, all because he had a compulsion to finish.
That in this day and age, that's not a career gone.
I don't know.
It may very well be a marriage gone.
Yeah.
Again, the hard part is, and I love that line of how he apologized to his wife and family.
Mm-hmm.
The apology isn't what's important. The explanation is going to be the important
this
part.
This is where I think you're wrong, that whether it's a career killer or not. Think about what he does. I mean, if you and I were to do it, you know, the bar of expectation on people like the three of us is very, very low. No one expects a whole hell of a lot out of us. A Jeffrey Toobin, who is on CNN and in the New Yorker magazine, is there to be like an austere expert in law. This is about as stupid of a thing as he could possibly do, and it damages his credibility, because if you see him on CNN ever again, all you're going to think about is that Zoom meeting where he's defiling himself. That's all you're ever going to think about.
Yeah, it's kind of like he suggested that he could grab women by the crotch.
No, he did. God forbid he did that.
Again, it's all about your level of expectation.
He was just sitting there making New England hand chowder.
There you
But, you know, you got the whole thing about apologizing to the family. The repercussions of the kids involved, if there's children involved, they're the ones getting made fun of at school because of what their dad did. And, you know, there was one time on this show years ago where I was making fun of somebody, and I won't even get into who it was, but we were having fun back and forth.
Right.
And I later saw this person, you know, probably a year later, and he said, "You know what? I don't care that you make fun of me," he said, "but it was my kids that were getting bullied at school from what you were saying, you know." And he's like, he was clearly remorseful about his actions of what he did.
Right.
But that was the one that I felt like seriously awful about, because
okay, but were we the only media outlet publicly reporting?
Yes, we were the only. Well, it wasn't the only media. We were the only ones that were making the nicknames that were carried on through.
We were the only ones who maybe been editorializing the situation.
Yes,
gotcha.
Okay, well, but yeah, all right.
So I mean that to me was like, you know, maybe. It makes you think a little bit about what you're saying about somebody before you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this guy, I mean, everybody is talking about this guy this morning, you know, and his family's probably going to get a lot of repercussions from that. I mean, how could you?
Going to get a lot of blowback.
No, he's 60 years old. How old are his kids? Does he have kids? Is that what he's talking about, his family?
I don't know. I'm just generalizing what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's got like a 25-year-old son. I'm not so sure. I'm worried about the bullying he'll get at school.
Unless he
stayed back a few years.
Finger painting the Oval Office.
Right, exactly, yes.
Okay, all right.
It's 7:23. We're Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Rock 102's Pro Picks Pool is underway at rock102.com. See dealer for details or call 844-414-2927.
It's 7:27 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. You know, if you miss any of these great conversations about the defiling of CNN analysts, you can check out a Bax and O'Brien Daily podcast and review all day long, any time of day, anytime you want to. You can download the Daily podcast from Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, or directly from BaxandO'Brien.com. And also check out Baxy's musical podcast. Got some great guests coming up next week and some other good stuff that you can all find on BaxandO'Brien.com.
You know, I'm out the other night outdoors, safely distancing, and there are waitresses and waiters at this place, and they're all wearing masks. And the person I'm with at one point says,
well, it is Halloween season after all.
Yes, that's true too. The person I'm with says, boy, that is a very friendly waitress. She's constantly smiling. And I said, well, how can you tell that if she's wearing a mask? And she said, well, you can kind of see it in her eyes. You can see a smile. And I thought, okay, well, I suppose that's right. Last night on NBC News, they interviewed a guy. They were doing a story about the Boeing planes and whether or not they're going to start flying again. Anyway, there was a spokesman from the FAA, and he was wearing a mask that I have not seen before. It was a clear cloth, or I wouldn't say it was cloth. It was like it had a border of cloth around a clear piece of plastic. That was not easy to say.
So like a
clear piece of plastic.
Like a mouth window.
Yeah, exactly. You could actually see his mouth. You could see his face. And I thought, now that's one of the best masks I've seen.
Does it have like drool and spittle all over it?
Nah. I mean, you know, I don't know how often you have to clean it, or if you do. I would imagine you probably do at some point. But it was, at least you could see his mouth. You would be able to tell whether he was smiling or not. And I'd never seen that before.
I have not seen, have I seen that? I think I've seen one of those online before, but I've never seen anybody like around here with it.
Yeah, I never even saw it online.
I've seen
I
more.
That was cool.
I've seen more people with the protective shields than normal. Like,
right.
Like that's a new thing. But I'm at the point now where it's, I almost need to buy new masks. Like the ones I've had are either starting to wear down, and you know, washed them a couple of times, and you know, sometimes they hold up, other times they don't, and I keep looking for you know masks that you know, not novelty masks, but you know, some that would be fun to wear so you can forget all about how miserable things are.
Well, I saw them. They were also doing a story at the end about kids in school, and the kids in school all seem to have, you know, like one had what looked like a cat's nose and mouth with whiskers on it, or a dog's one. You know, they get all these things for kids. They're actually kind of cute. I guess it's a way to make the kid want to wear a mask all day long.
Remember back years and years ago, there used to be this thing where people would, like a dude would try to pack as many cigarettes into his mouth at once, and he had like his whole mouth was like around like a big, giant, maybe like 200 cigarettes in his mouth.
Yeah.
I'd want a mask that had that. I mean, I'm not a smoker. I'm just, it would be kind of cool to have like, you know, visual, like mouth visuals of the past, you know, like that one, or, you know, there's gotta be
like
some
to
others.
Have the Palmer one where it looks like you're smiling and you only got two teeth.
Like Joe Exotic's husband.
Yeah.
You know, the guy with like the three remaining ornamental teeth. They're not really there for any specific real purpose. They're just there for show.
Or the Dr. Bucks, like I had.
That's what I'm getting at.
The fake thing that goes in your mouth, and it's any number. They had like 15, 20 different styles of deformed teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, that would be cool on a mask.
I'm sure they're already out there. Just kind of like the same way that I suggested, how about getting a mask with your own face on it, and then within 3 days, I'm seeing online a mask with your own face on it. Like, ah, man, I missed that $1 million idea.
What do you mean, your own lower face?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like your own mouth, your own jaw, you know, your nose, too.
What if, like, Charla Nash had one made?
Oh, for crying out loud, that poor woman. You just can't let it go, can you?
I'm just thinking out loud is all.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time to go. Take a break and get ready for news next to Rock 102.
Are you an experienced fuel delivery driver? Can you imagine getting up in the morning and heading to a job you...
7:34 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102. It's time for news brought to you by Table and Vine for the best deals on beer, wine, and spirits. Great selection and expert advice only at Table and Vine, Riverdale Street in West Springfield. Or at tableandvine.com. Here's local radio icon and first responder, Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Si, senor.
At one of America's most famous sporting venues and home of the Boston Red Sox, Fenway Park, voters lined up to cast their ballot for the November presidential election. Did you see this lady on WHDH when they interviewed her?
No.
I wanted to vote at Fenway because we have all been cooped up inside for a bit. I got my donkeys and I'm ready to vote for Joe Biden. I wish I was voting for Bernie Sanders, but it's a team sport. It was actually a very funny little, like, you know, the man on the street or woman on the street in this case, like interviews.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That I just thought was so very Massachusetts.
So very Boston.
I got my donkeys. I'm ready to vote for Biden.
Donkeys.
It's funny how, what is it? I mean, obviously, Duncan is the
way, new name.
That's the way they would like everybody to pronounce
it. Sure, that is the name. But yeah, everyone has a nickname for things.
Yeah, Dunkies or like Mickey D's.
Yeah, I've heard Dunkies or Dunks. You know, the double D's. I've heard a lot of different ways of putting it.
Double D's, yeah. How about that?
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know about your logo sizes, right?
I do.
You get your A.
A.
Your B.
B.
Your double D's.
That's the biggest.
Moving along here. Oh, that fire at Bondi's Island is completely out, by
Thank
the way.
Goodness.
I hope you were wondering when that was going to be out. That was extinguished yesterday. Mm-hmm. They spent, firefighters spent most of the day yesterday packing up the estimated 7,000 feet of hose needed to pump water from a portable pool to the flaming compost piles over the past days. All engines had left by 3 p.m., and the property was turned back to the control of Covanta, which operates the landfill.
Am I crazy, or is that a lot of hose?
That's a lot of hose. You gotta clean it and then rewrap it. Because if you've ever seen the hoses on the fire trucks are... They're usually folded over themselves, you know, back and forth, but they're sparkling clean. So you have the thing laying out there for 4 days, and it was probably multiple hoses from multiple departments, but they're all marked, so they have to be returned back to their original departments. Mm. But yeah, that's a lot of hose.
Well, I know, like West Springfield, for example, likes their hose clean.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a clean hoe.
Zzz. I see. Yeah.
You a stupid hoe. You a stupid hoe.
Look at
you. You a stupid hoe. You a stupid hoe.
Okay, what is that?
That is Nicki Minaj, and it was it's not called stupid hoes. It's stupid hoes. You know what I'm saying?
You see the difference?
Sure.
Two men were arrested Saturday night after reports of shots fired on Myrtle Street in Springfield. According to Springfield Police spokesman Ryan Walsh, around 11:45 p.m., officers were called to the intersection of State and Myrtle Streets for a shot spotter of activation and received information that the shooter was on a party bus. When the officers arrived, they located several shell casings and two cars that had been shot on Myrtle Street. Shortly after, officers located the bus on the 200 block of Locust Street and pulled the bus over. They then located 23-year-old Marquand Moriarty, who matched the description of the shooter. While Moriarty ignored officers' commands and ran from the doorway of the bus back inside. Officers then got the suspect off the bus and arrested him. You're not escaping by running back onto the bus.
Well, unless you get out the back door.
Yeah, but then you're going to set off that alarm when you open up the emergency handle. Nobody wants to hear that buzz go off.
You ever done that?
Yes.
Not on a bus, just anywhere with one of those doors that set off an alarm.
Accidentally, yeah, I've done it.
There's been places where I have been. Oh, like my former gym, when they were having the front end of the gym remodeled,
mm-hmm.
You could only go in and out the emergency exit door for some time while they were doing the renovations.
That wasn't the lunk alarm?
No, it wasn't that kind of place. But you had to go in and out of the thing, and I don't know why they never shut that alarm off. But every time somebody would go out that door, they would push that handle, and the thing would go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we get the point. I don't know that you're allowed to shut it off, but I don't think you're supposed to be using it as a regular exit either.
Well, there's scoff laws all over the country, John. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I just, this is the way they were doing things over
Well,
there.
I'm just telling you, that's why it probably made the sound. They probably weren't allowed to turn it off.
You mean the sound of...
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
I once turned, set that alarm off just by accidentally leaning up against the door because we were all lined up for something. And I just, leaned back a little bit, accidentally opened it, maybe like a fraction of an inch.
And what sound did it make?
It was more like a dee-da, 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 one of those kinds of things.
Yeah, the one time that I did it was in Great Britain, and the one time that I went there and leaned against the door, and also it popped open and made the sound.
What sound was it?
It was more of a wee.
First of all, let's clarify. It was not Great Britain. You were in New Britain, And that's there's a big difference.
I was having a great time in New Britain.
Which is hard to do sometimes.
Yeah.
What about those ambulance sounds that sound like a German sex porn?
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ah,
There are no ambulances.
What about that alarm? It sounds like a Jeffrey Toobin Zoom meeting. Which I think is nuts.
Okay. All right.
Steven.
What? It wasn't me. It was Jeffrey. State lawmakers and members of many other organizations took a trip down the Connecticut River Monday morning in an effort to highlight how valuable the river is for Western Massachusetts. The Connecticut River runs 67 miles through Western Mass and plays a significant role in the area's history, ecology, and economy. Those who took part in Monday's event paddled from Northfield and ended up in Northampton yesterday afternoon. Can you imagine being on that trip?
Who did this?
It says state lawmakers, and Joe Comerford, who is a state senator, Secretary Kathleen Theoharadis, Deputy Commissioner Ashley Randall, Dan Carey, a state rep. There's all these like kind of nobodies that
and
went on this.
And they paddled?
Yes, they took kayaks and they went down the river from Northfield.
Oh, they took kayaks.
Mm. Yeah.
Well,
it just seems like, man, what a boring trip that would be.
Well, I mean, I can see people doing that for recreational purposes, but you know, to be a bunch of legislators and officials trying to prove a point, and from Northfield to Northampton, even with the benefit of the current, I got to think that's going to take a little while.
Well,
and I got to tell you, I would never. I've only kayaked once, no, twice, and I don't mean the number of times I've done it. I mean on a number of different bodies of water,
right?
And I would never do it on a current. I'm not quite that comfortable with it.
I don't know the Connecticut River all that well, but isn't there parts where you have to get out and take the kayak out of the water and go to the next part?
Because I don't know about between
so
Northfield and Northampton.
Not about shallowness, but the like the dams and the different
Northfield and Northampton must be pretty open, I guess.
Well, like when you get on that boat at Brunel's, the Lady Bee.
Yes.
Remember we've taken that before with like company parties and stuff?
Yeah.
That only goes to that Calvin Coolidge Bridge on Route 9 and then turns around because I think maybe it's the size of that boat.
Maybe it is.
But it turns around there because of the fact that you can't take that thing.
Right.
Maybe that's where they went. Maybe that's where they ended it. They started in Northfield, and then they ended at the Calvin Coolidge Bridge.
You never did, like, whitewater rafting?
Oh, good God, no.
It's fun.
Oh, man.
Real fun.
I would never do that.
Real, real fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do
that. You've never done that either?
When I was a kid, we went, actually, it turned into a whitewater rafting trip. We were on a Boy Scout canoe trip.
Yeah.
In metal canoes.
Oh, that's hot.
And then the lightning storm developed as we were out in the middle of these, like, series of lakes up in the Adirondacks.
Sure.
And, you know, you can see lightning flashing in the distance. Here we are in a metal canoe in the middle of a lake. And then the waves were, it was very scary.
Well, wait a minute. Was it the middle of a lake or was it white water running?
No, it was a lake, but the current turned into a much like a whitewater rafting trip.
See, that's what I would have been more worried about than the lightning.
I gotta tell you, I mean, I've been on two occasions, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when things get real rocky, and you got a chance of, like, you know, splitting your head open over a rock. Yeah, that
or
kind
being
of
or being tossed out. You're not. Buckled in, are you? Or belted in?
No, you wouldn't want to be. That thing capsizes. You want to be free to, you know, right the boat. Get back on. Get back down that river.
Yeah,
that river's got a mind of its own. She's a tough body of water.
River was angry that day, my friends.
Exactly. Yeah. Like an old man ordering soup in a deli.
Only 46% of people say they will definitely go back to shaking hands once the pandemic is over. I will not. I don't like the handshake.
Somebody shook my hand over the weekend, and I was a little, I mean, when it's over, I don't know what I'll do. It'll probably feel different when it's over. But to still be in it and have people just, you know, they stick their hand out like they're not even, like nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed. And it's like, you know, you reach out with a fist and then you're ending up putting your fist into their open hand. It's like, have you read a newspaper lately?
Yeah. It's happened. I think, you know, part of it is like one of these things it's like muscle memory. You see someone you haven't seen in a while and you extend your hand out and you almost like you forget sometimes where things are at.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we've mentioned it before, you know, the idea of a bow or a dude curtsy. You know, maybe it's time to really start considering those options.
A head nod, hi, how are you, is fine. You don't need to shake hands or do curtsies or bows or anything like that.
And at this point, muscle memory isn't even an excuse anymore.
I know. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but you can understand how some people, you know, they brain fart their way into a situation where, oh, my God, I got to shake this guy's hand.
Yeah.
Somebody did that to me over the weekend as well. I was doing a party, and a guy comes up. Now, everybody else had been very respectful, going, hi, how are you? And they just do the little mini hand wave.
Sure.
That's fine.
Yep.
And then, you know, there's always that one person, you know, the older person. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, right.
And I just, like, had to douse myself with hand sanitizer afterwards.
You know what I got yesterday? I never thought I'd ever see this. I got the double-pointed fingers like Isaac from The Love Boat. Remember that? Like the opening of The Love Boat? Isaac, Ted Lang would like point at you with both fingers like, hey, how you doing? I got one of those yesterday.
Mm. How was that? That's actually not a bad way to
greet
somebody.
It was not a bad way. When, you know, at first I thought, well, that's a little weird. But then I thought, you know what? Actually quite compliant.
A timeshare company has come up with maybe the safest possible way to have Thanksgiving with your family, but also the most torturing way to have Thanksgiving with your family. You book a 15-night trip somewhere where everybody quarantines for 2 weeks in their own suite.
Nope.
Then on the last night, you have Thanksgiving dinner.
No thanks.
You haven't already stabbed each other in the process.
You mean the celebration happens at the very end?
Yes.
No, and then you got to quarantine for 14 days after that, don't you?
Yeah, probably, depending on where you came from.
Doesn't matter where you came from. Wait a minute. So you quarantined for 14 days. Then you had Thanksgiving dinner together.
Yeah.
Then you went home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to quarantine again. But you said, you know, if you haven't stabbed each other by then, but you just spent 14 days not with your family.
Right.
You were all in separate suites.
No, this is one suite where you're sharing.
Oh, one suite where you're sharing? Yeah, no.
$2,000 per suite. Which isn't bad if you have a family of four and you're going on a 2-week vacation.
Right.
That's only $500 a person, really.
That's not a vacation.
No, that's torture. That's
a hostage situation.
Yeah, that's like waterboarding.
You know, some people actually enjoy spending time with their family.
Not that much.
Who?
Not $500 worth, but I mean, just saying, sometimes people like to spend time with the people that they've known for their entire lives.
Not that much time.
I like spending time with my immediate family. And then, you know, because I have a big family. You get my brother, you know, my sisters, in-laws, stuff like that.
Right.
I just want to be by myself with the kids. Yeah. Like, I don't really need a big to-do, if you will.
You're talking to somebody who spent the last 20 Christmases alone in Florida. I'd rather not be stuck in a hut with my family.
You know, the way you describe it, I'm not sure which one's worse.
I know.
I lost.
You lost it?
I lost.
It was probably right there, too.
Oh, no, we were talking about what I wanted to talk about were kids. The kids interrupting their parents. According to a new survey, the average parents say their kids interrupt them up to 5 times a day since the new school year started because everybody's at home. They're also
well, that's got to be annoying.
There are also four
like doing a presidential debate.
Yeah, there are.
Wait, no one wants to be interrupted while they're trying to speak.
There are also 4 snack breaks every day, either for the parents or the kids, and at least one Wi-Fi issue every day. You know what?
4 snack breaks.
Yeah. That's a lot of snack breaks.
I was going to say, you're going to end up with fat little kids.
You know, I thought that was going to happen, but that didn't happen. As a matter of fact, my kids have lost weight during this whole thing.
Well, I mean, it depends on what the snacks are.
Well, I mean, I think because we're eating at home more.
Right.
You know, as like before, you know, where I live, everything is at least 30 minutes away where you have to go to something. So whether it be dance or piano or any number of different things that we're going to, I'm not doing that as much anymore.
Sure.
And so I'm not getting meals on the go as much anymore. I'm cooking at home. So I think that actually is a positive thing.
Yep.
Because there's more stuff available, like fruits and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you're snacks. not giving your kids four snacks a day. Or are you?
Well,
that's a lot of snacks.
Yeah, but it depends on what it is. If they're eating apples, if you eat four apples in one day, that's not really a lot. I don't think that's a lot of snacks.
Four apples in one day.
If you're eating four bags of chips, then you know you might have a little bit of an issue, but.
Well, what size are the bags?
Well, like even the snack size bags. That's like 500 calories eating four bags of those.
You're damn right.
Four apples. Eesh. And I like apples. I have an apple every day with peanut butter.
Do you know how much fruit I go through in my house?
Probably a lot.
A lot.
Apparently quite a bit of apples.
Like I'll bring home a big thing of strawberries.
Right.
And they will be gone by the next day.
Now, are you sure they're eating them?
Yes, I know they're eating them.
Okay. See, we don't eat a lot of fruit. I mean, I like fruit, but my wife doesn't like fruit unless it's in a muffin. And, you know, in a way, I can't blame her.
What do you mean your wife doesn't like fruit? She married one.
Boom! Boom! Zaza!
Yeah, but kids like fruit, and kids eat fruit.
Yeah, but given a choice, what would you rather have? Some fruity, chewy gummy snacks? Or actual fruit.
Yeah, but the point is to not buy that. It's whatever you make available is going to be the
thing.
You're
the parent.
Is going to be the thing that they're going
to
eat.
So I like to provide a wide open buffet with a carving station.
So there's a lot of celery stick eating going on in my house, too. That's like the big thing.
With celery dipping? Sticks.
Yeah, they do a little bit of ranch dip with those.
I like the ranch dip. I like the peanut butter.
And but I have to like portion out. If I bring home like chocolatey snack stuff, I gotta like hide it and then like only make x amount of number available,
right?
Yep.
Because otherwise the box will be gone.
Sure. Mm.
They had this whole in the beginning of this pandemic, Costco started selling these Hostess it was cupcakes and Twinkies, and it was
in the same package.
Yeah, there was like maybe 60 of them all in the box. Yeah,
like a variety pack.
Yeah, big variety pack. They still sell them. I'll get you one next. Do you want me to get you one next time I go?
I can get as many as I want. So it's all right here.
My friend Bob Sacramento sells them down at Costco.
Well, I feel a little bit nervous, but I really can't tell.
$9. The difference is noticeable. but yeah, you gotta make sure that, like, because that was the mistake I made. I left the box in the pantry, and of course
they kept going after.
Somebody's sneaking them. You know, they go in, they sneak them, and then you find the wrappers. The evidence later on.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So I had to start, kind of piecemealing them out.
Yes, yeah, we can't have things like Twinkies in the house. Because if they're in the house, they will no longer be in the house. We'll rip through them.
I thought you didn't eat sugar.
Well, you know, COVID has gotten us a little bit off track lately, to be honest.
Damn you, COVIDs.
Well, you know, there's stress eating. There's a lot of that. There's breakfast. There's late breakfast. There's lunch.
Late stress eating.
Second lunch.
Post breakfast stress eating.
Right, exactly.
Post lunch stress eating.
Oh yeah.
Hey, speaking of breakfast, you know what I made for the very first time on my own?
What?
Because I've always enjoyed this breakfast dish, but I've never really made it myself. Sausage and gravy.
Oh man, I love good sausage gravy.
Yeah.
Do you make biscuits too?
No, I didn't need to make biscuits. I just it was hearty enough that I didn't need any bread to go along with it.
Oh my gosh.
What kind of gravy?
It's you make your own. It's milk and flour.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how easy this was to actually make.
It's ridiculously easy and it's so good. It's like a white gravy with sausage, maybe onion in it too.
No, I didn't even do that.
But with onion? Good stuff.
The sausage I get from this little store in my town, it's like phenomenal. It's like it's fresh. It doesn't leave a lot of grease behind and all that stuff. It's not like buying that crappy Jimmy Dean
That's the stuff that I love.
Yeah, see, it's too greasy. You know what? Want me to hook you up with some breakfast sausage? I'll hook you up with some breakfast sausage.
Not if I got to put a lot of work into it.
There's not a lot of work into it. Put it in a pan and you cook it up.
And then just buy a jar full of chicken gravy?
No. You take, I took the easy way out. I used Wondra.
I think I'm taking the easy way out.
The quick mixing flour?
Yeah.
And then I used some half milk and half heavy cream.
Oh, my God.
To make the gravy.
A little butter, too? You butter?
A little butter on there.
A little butter.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I'm buying a box of the Jimmy Dean sausage and a can of Campbell's gravy.
Man, that's like a smorgasbord of absolute gross stuff.
No.
Whereas what Steve is talking about is that's actually really delicious.
It is very good.
You blindfolded me and fed me both of them, I wouldn't be able to tell one from the other.
I'm willing to bet you would.
Why don't you come over for breakfast this weekend?
I'm not social distancing. I'm sorry.
You can stay. You can sit outside the house. I'll bring it out to you.
He'll throw you a spoon.
Drive out there.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today going to be cloudy with chances of showers. High of 68 tomorrow. Rain with a high of 72. It's 54 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102.
It's 7:57 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Hey,
did you see the story about how for Thursday night's debate they're going to cut the mics?
Which is exactly what we said during the last debate.
Yeah. But apparently only, they gave an exact description at the beginning of the Today Show this morning about, I guess it's at each question, they are allowed 2 minutes to respond. That's when the mic of the person not speaking will be cut. Then when they have the back and forth, the mic won't be cut. So there's still an opportunity for one person to be speaking over the other person who's been given the floor. So it doesn't sound like it's going to cut out all of the interruptions.
No, but at least it's a better solution than what they had the first time around. It's probably necessary. It's 7:58 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
It's easy to get your Rock 102 fill anywhere at any time. Just go to Rock 102.